take off your shoes. Now, I don't mean you do that right now. I mean, what God told Moses. Amen? There are churches that do that. That's fine. You know, sometimes we argue about a lot of things. Should we put off shoes? Should we wear white? It has absolutely no bearing. What does it matter if someone is not wearing shoes? As long as they are calling on the name of Jesus. I actually don't care. I don't care what you put on. Fine, don't come to church naked. I mean, I don't care. I don't care if you're on shoes or not. Of course, there are doctrinal persuasions that stem from that. But on the surface, it's really not a big deal. Hallelujah. So don't make a job out of arguing Bible. Fellowship with God and learn His word for yourself and for your world primarily. Amen. Exodus 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. That's one, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Say mountain of God. All right. I remember we've had a teaching mountains, yeah? Mountain of God. On the mountain of the Lord. Yeah, okay. That's it from here. Nah. That's it from here. Or Sinai. Which mountain did we use? Zuma. All right. And he came to the mountain of God unto Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. God knows my name. Amen. Verse 5. Can we read verse 5 together? And he said, do not draw near either. Put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. There's a song like that. Holy ground. Who knows the song I'm trying to sing? I'll find it before Sunday. There's a song like that and we'll sing it. Okay. So, God said, do not come near. Put off your shoes. Take off your shoes from your feet, for the ground where you stay, the place where you are, is holy ground. Take off your shoes. And this teaching might span into about 3 weeks, because we'll be taking it both Sundays, and so about 6-7 sessions, 8-10, depends on how fast we can go. Amen. Such an instruction. Take off your shoes, because the place where you stand is holy ground. That means there's a response to the presence of God. God says, because I am here, you've got to respond in a certain way. That will not be the first time Moses is going by that side. He married a Midianite, Zipporah, right? Who he met by the well, remember? Jethro's daughters. He had been going through that path many a time. But this time around, he saw a burning bush. Maybe if I was the one, I would have missed the call, because I will not wait. I like to go where I'm going to. But a typical Lagosian or Nigerian would have answered that call, because you guys do cho-cho-cho. Amen. So he turned aside and said, why is there fire and the bush is not consumed? I think you wait. You're seeing fire and the bush, all the leaves are standing erect. And you're seeing fire. And so Moses said, let me see what's going on. And God said, when the Lord saw that he turned aside, we'll get there. When the Lord saw that he turned aside, he called his name, Moses, Moses. He said, here am I. And God said, and he was about to draw near. And God said, you wait. You're not responding properly. That's not a good response. You're not responding properly. Take off your shoes. Take off your shoes, for the ground, for the place where you stand is holy ground. We're going to get there. So that's one of our texts. Another of our texts is 1 Samuel 2. So put holy ground somewhere in your mind. Because that's our main text. 1 Samuel 2. So we said, don't forget where we are coming from. We said there's a response to the presence and to the call of God. Respond in a certain way. In Moses, in this instance, you take off your shoes. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus says the Lord, did I plainly appear to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest? That's the Levites, yeah? To offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me. Did I give unto the house of your father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? So, a prophet came to Eli, who's also a prophet. Remember Eli? With the two bad boys, right? Eli had two children who were eating from the altar. They said, either says by the altar, to eat by the altar. These ones, they were literally eating by the altar, but they went further steps. Now, there's a portion that should go to the Levites, to the priest. After they are done eating the portion of the priest, they now eat the Lord's portion too. Amen? And they would take everything, and they even grew worse to the extent where they started having affair with the women who brought sacrifices. Just read through their story. Very, very nonsense boys. So God sent a prophet to a prophet. Because bread, loving to bread, right? So God sent a prophet to a prophet. When you will not hear him, he will send someone else. Amen? But God will always give chances for him to be heard. As I told you, you cannot walk out of God's presence. He will give you a million and one chances. So when believers have that fear that, oh, maybe I'm about to step out of God's will. No, it's not going to be that easy. If you don't hear your pastor, he's going to say it on the radio. If you're not tuning to the radio, he's going to say it through your mother, through your father, he's going to say it through your neighbor, through your friend. God is going to talk and you will not miss it. And so God sent a prophet to Eli and said, he started reminding him, when you were in Egypt, I chose your father's house. I chose your father's house to serve me, to stand before me, to take of the offerings of all the burnt offerings of the children of Israel. Verse 29. Therefore, kick you at my sacrifice and at my offering, where I have commanded in my habitation, and you honor your sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all offerings of Israel, my people. So, God is saying, after I've given you all of this, I've chosen you. You now chose to make yourself fat. Now, fat might not mean literal fat. I mean, God is saying you are enriching yourself. So, when you see fat, especially in the Old Testament, it oftentimes always about wealth. You know, you make me fat in the nations. He's talking about wealth, influence. All right, good. I've seen someone say that I don't eat the gym because God is going to make me fat. That's a good submission. Amen. All right, so God is saying, after all of this, you honored your sons. If you can, underline that somewhere. It's underlined in my Bible. You honored your sons above me. God is making a point here. To make yourselves fat with the chiefest offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house, can we read verse 30 together? I said indeed, the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. What a statement. So God says, I did this for you. I expect something back. I expect that you honor me above your children. Then God gives the disclaimer. Something that could be shocking to you. Because sometimes the way we paint God, it's amazing, yeah? But God says, nah, I honor those who honor me. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. It's not Old Testament scriptures. We are going to see through all the scriptures. Those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So there's a background here. This is one of the greatest truths in Christianity that you can learn. That sometimes God will treat you the way you treat his things. Many don't believe it. If you, he's a good God. Yes, he is. Oh my, he is a good God. Can we say together, he's a good God? You believe that? Good, good father. It's who you are, right? It's who you are. But the good father is telling you now, if you honor me, I will honor you. What a promise. He says, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. There are a lot of people on the planet. The last time we checked, how many people did they say existed? 7 billion. I don't know who had the chance to count everybody. I said Nigeria had a census. When was that? 2006. We've not had the money to do another one, Abi. It's fine. Even if it's another, I doubt it, really. How did you count them? When you came home, some people have gone to farm. And so we just say, I have 15 children. Maybe they thought they wanted to give money. But what I'm just saying is, imagine if Nigeria was like that. You can imagine some less developed countries in Africa. What am I saying? Last census, last time we checked the world population, 7 billion. And God cares about everybody. Amen. How he does it, I don't know. Hallelujah. He cares about everybody at the same time. I try to care about everybody. Yeah, and it's an edict. Amen. I care about you, right? Before you say, I've always suspected that he doesn't care about me. I do. Amen. You don't believe it? I do. Amen. Yeah, I really do. But at the same time, no. If I'm thinking of you, I'm not thinking of her. Amen. Except she's your wife. She's not, right? Say, Pastor, what kind of... you know? If I'm thinking of Sister Niola, I'm not thinking of Sister Moyo. Okay, maybe I'm just... Then if I'm thinking of their cell or their PCF. Hallelujah. So the quickest... That's why I want you to get married. Those of you who are single. So that I can just think about two people at the same time. At the same time. I've covered it. Hallelujah. I've cared with one thought, two people. Amen. But God really thinks and he cares about everybody at the same time. But he's not really concerned about what everybody is doing. There are people who wish leave this earth right now and it's just another one that left. I mean, it has no effect on God's kingdom. I remember the year Reinhard Bonnke died. I've been following the news because I'm connected to the Christ for All Nations, the network. Reinhard Bonnke Ministries, now Daniel Kulenda Ministries. I don't know if I should say I'm part of the ministry itself. I've been a part for over a decade, over 10 years now, yeah. So I've been following the news. And when it broke, in fact, before it became mainstream, it was already in the email that he has passed on to glory. Amen. I felt it in my bowels. I felt like eating the toilet. My entire system became, Reinhard Bonnke is gone. Some of you don't even know what God knew. Bonnke is out of the fight now. But there are people who will also pass like that. And God just say, okay, just another one. He cares about everybody, but he's concerned about what some are doing. Why? Because they've got a deal. They've got something that they are doing for God's kingdom. And so, God honors those who honor him. Let's read that verse 30 again. The B part. Be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. You will not be lightly esteemed. Amen. That means God will treat you the way you treat his things. Okay. No, God is not like that. God does not reciprocate. We'll see. You know, like I said, it's an exhaustive series. You will see it clearly that God is going to treat you the way you treat him. I remember some years ago, myself and my friends, we were correcting one Domwen song. You know, there it was almost like we were correcting almost every song in the body of Christ. I'm lying, is it? Google one on. If you, Domwen said, if you run to him, he will run to us. So we said, no. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5. That no, it cannot be. He ran to us while we're running away from him. Then we back it up with the lost sheep, 99 and all that. Good theology. Top notch. Until you hear what God said to Micah, Saul's daughter, you'll be lightly esteemed. Because you didn't run to me, I won't run to you.
You need to familiarize. God demands a response. For Moses, take off your shoes. Where do you think you are? We're going to get there. Look at Malachi 1. You know the book of Malachi? When last did you open it? It's just before Matthew. Malachi chapter 1. Hear something? If you honor me, we'll keep repeating that, so just get used to it. If you honor me, I honor you. And those who despise me, who has another verse? Another version? NIV? Ba ba ba? Anyone? Nobody. So this is a KJV church. Interesting. Hope you know who King James himself is. What version is that? Hope it's not RSV. Alright, good. Someone say, hey, King, don't you RSV? Nothing. I'm the Lord. Wait, I like it. God said, I cannot do this any longer. I like it. So, he said, but you honor your sons instead of me. You don't respect the sacrifices and offerings that are brought to me. And you've all grown fat from eating the best parts of the offerings. I am the Lord, the God of Israel. I promise to always let your family serve me as priests. But now I will tell you, I can no longer do this. It's not you. It's me. I honor anyone who honors me. But I put a curse on anyone who hates me. You know the word hate, yeah? Yeah? Who what? Who does not put me as priority. Hate is always used for comparison. Especially in the Old Testament. Most times. I'm not saying there's no outright hatred. Esau, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God did not hate Esau. It means I have chosen Jacob over Esau. That's the word hate there. It's not an emotion, it's preference, it's priority. All right, good. Jesus also used it. Your body can have two masters. You either love one and hate the other. That is, you have to choose one out of them. Both of them cannot be on, you cannot be forced. You have to love one and hate the other. Hate is actually used for second choice. Like Asna. No, Asna was second. I'm trying to just use reverse psychology and God help me. Amen. So, eight Asna. Hallelujah. So, Jacob, I love Israel, I hate it. So, just know that one at the back of your mind. Malachi 1:6. A son honors his father, a servant his master's. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, where have we despised your name? So they didn't even know. God is still talking to the priest here. And that's why, if you are a minister of the gospel, which every Christian should be, but I mean, if you actively teach people, watch for your honor. Sometimes, silently, we get familiar with God. We can get familiar so much that you can prepare a sermon. You preach the sermon. And you yourself are not blessed by it. You can prepare and preach a powerful sermon that gets people very emotional. They are shouting glory to the Lord. And you yourself, nothing is changing. And God is asking them in Malachi again. A servant honors his master. A son honors his father. If I am your father, where is my honor? Again, he's demanding something. The presence of God demands something from the believer. So where is my honor? We read on. Verse 7. You offer polluted bread. These priests are funny. You offer polluted bread. This is not the kind of bread, of empty bread. Right? You offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have you polluted you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Let's see if you'll be pleased or accept your presence, says the Lord of hosts. So God is saying, when you want to bring bread as sacrifice, you bring polluted bread. And when it's time to offer animals, you bring the blind animal. You bring the lame and the sick animal. So I'm like, he's going to die anyway. We could as well just offer it. So, which animal, you know, the good animal is going to command a price. Hallelujah. You take it to the market and you sell it at a good price. But God is not worthy of that. So God says, you're bringing the lame animal, the sick animal, who's going to die anyway. So you just say, let's offer it to the Lord. God says, and you are asking me, how have we dishonored you?
You gave me leftovers. You gave me the stuff you will not put in your house. And you're asking, have we dishonored you? Let's read on. And God said, if you think it's honorable, give it to your governors. Just if he's going to take it. If you're not going to land in jail. And I asked sometimes, I asked a particular brother one time, he wanted to give something to his church. So I asked him, he's a friend. So I said, if you wanted to give this to your investor, so he runs businesses, yeah. So and you have investors, right? Some of them are even not Nigerians. So if you wanted to give to your investor who has pumped about more than 50 million naira, more than 150 million naira into your business, would you give him this? So he returned it to the person he was buying it from. I said, those are the thoughts that should go through your head. And God is looking at you and say, is this the sacrifice you bring? This is what you want to do. Let's read on. Learning something? Verse 9. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will you regard your person, say the Lord of hosts? Who is there among you that will shut the doors for nothing? Neither do ye kindle fire on my altar for nothing. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Let's quickly go to chapter 2. Look at verse 4. I'll start in verse 3. Behold, I'll corrupt your seed and spread dung up on your faces, even the dung up your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. Verse 4 and verse 5, very important now. Pay attention. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my commandment might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My commandment was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear where he has feared me and was afraid before my name. So God says, I chose Levi, and I have reasons. I chose Levi before he was a priest because he has feared my name. For the fear wherewith he feared me. There's a way Old Testament writes it. For the fear wherewith he feared me. It means there's a reverence Levi had that I didn't see in the others. The privilege was because of reverence. In fact, then NIV says, he revered me and he stood in awe of my name. God demands a response. In the world where we are today, there's a lot of irreverence. Maybe you call me old school, you call me anything, but sometimes you just have to see through the nonsense. I was going to say bullshit, but it's fine. Nonsense. You see people in church, and you're pressing your phones. Something you would dare not do in certain places. Not because you've been arrested, but because you honor those places. If you see the way some people act even before. If you're a teacher and you've seen when the local government inspector office has come to school, have you seen that scene before? I remember when I was in secondary school. And then, is it LGI they call it now? LGI, good. And when they come around, everybody, and the teacher asks us score, everybody, you know, everybody, every class. So as I was teaching you, like I said, X equals to 1. Depends on how you have asked questions before last day. Go ask your mother. When you ask questions, I say, good question. Everybody clap for him. Why? There's a reverence. There's someone around that demands honor as a response. And God is asking, if I am your father, where is my honor? Because of the advent of technology, and a lot of things going on in the world, we might not be seeing this, that sometimes we are becoming irreverent to God's presence. And I say God's presence is not just in the church. Suddenly, God's word actually does not mean anything to you. It's just one of those things. I'll come to church, I'll sit down, I'll write it, and I'll answer. When I'm ready to do what I want to do, I know what I want to do. May you not end like Eli. Did you hear what God told him? One of the harshest words eternally that a man can hear. I have chosen you. Before you were born, I chose your father's house. But I'm no longer going to do that. You will be esteemed highly. You'll be esteemed lightly. One of the harshest realities a man can face. Eli was still in church. He was still the one sitting in the temple. But he was gone. May you not be useless to God. Amen. There's irreverence. Sometimes we need to take a shower and renew our reverence for God. You must do it daily. Because the truth is, like I said earlier, you can get used to it. You can get used to songs that you don't know what they mean. We sang the song earlier on. You are beautiful beyond description. How many of you were actually singing it to God? You've gotten familiar. Even part it. Part it is not wrong. I mean, that's all to it. To marvelous for what? What's the part again? To wonderful. Give me the part. Comprehension. Amen. Comprehension. And nothing goes to God. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to all praise is due. Weighty words. Weighty words. Strong words. All praise is due. I stand in awe of you. But a man can get so familiar, like Eli, so familiar with the call of God, so familiar with the presence of God. And God quickly checked Moses, said, "Now, don't come here. You take off your shoes. You must give a response to the presence of God. It must cost you." Amen. Amen. Look at verse 8. Malachi 2. That's where we are. But reading through the book of Malachi, it gave me a new perspective. As I was preparing for this teaching some weeks ago, and yesterday night, I was wrapping it up. And I was excited, really. Excited to serve God afresh. Amen. That was the excitement to go again, like a newborn, to see God, how he ought to be seen in my life. Look at verse 8. And you have departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. He's talking to the Levite. The same Levite that he chose. Can we read verse 9 together, everybody? Want to go? Therefore, I have also made you contemptible and base before all people. Let's pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Look at that word. I have made you base. That is, you will always be down before all people. Why? Because you despised me. Amen. Amen. Strong words. When God is talking like this, you listen. God said, because you have done this, I have also made you contemptible. You will not be likable. That's what he's saying. Those who see you will treat you with contempt. He said, and I have made you base before all people. According as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Again, that first Samuel rings. If you honor me, I will honor you. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. What's the second Samuel 6? I learned something. God's word comes to us, I've told you, for either for comfort or for instruction, or oftentimes for warning. Three things. That is, come to comfort you or to instruct you. That means to give you what to do and how to do it and when to do it, how to go about it. Or as a warning. Paul will call that an admonition. 2 Samuel 6. Verse 15. Are you getting blessed? Okay. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting. So the background is this. The ark of the Lord had been out of Israel for a long time. It has gone to many places. Israel was without the presence of God in figurative times, as they will have it, right? Israel was without the presence of God. The ark had been away. And they were able to now retrieve it. So they came with the ark. With what? Shouting. Just shouting. It's one of the response to God's presence. Hallelujah. They came with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Verse 16. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. and she despised him in her heart. The first thing you notice is she was not there. She was not part of the people shouting. She was looking through a window. Meaning, what's special about this? Why are we shouting? Why are we dancing? What is so special about the presence of God? Why is everybody... Beware of what you say. Beware. She was looking. And she saw David dance. And you see someone praising God and rolling on the floor. And you know, you say, it was all this. What's all this? It's not classy. Only she classy. Yo. Amen. What kind of class is that one? I've told you the story before. I went for a prayer meeting one time. And I saw people praying. And they were shaking. And they were banging the wall. And they were eating everything. Ah, Jesus! You know, as a new creation in Christ, I just said, what's going on? What's all this? God is not deaf. I said that in my heart. God is not deaf. I don't need to be shouting and be slapping anything. We talk to him as Father. Cryptocurrency. There's Christocentric, there's cryptocurrency. So I talk to him as Father. Why are they shouting? And God responded to me and said, the question is not why they are shouting. It's why are you not? It's not why they are praying with passion. It's why are you not praying with passion? You should be looking inwards to ask, where is my own zeal? I've told you before, the lack of zeal can never be spiritual growth. The fact that you don't shout, you are so composed, does not mean you have grown spiritually. Maybe the opposite. You have regressed. There must be a response to God's presence. We must not get familiar. Eli got familiar and found out. You listening to me? And so, he despised him in her heart. He has forgotten. She has forgotten that God sees the heart. She was looking through the window. Have you not met people like that? Just look at it. What's going on? And so, she despised him in her heart. Verse 17. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place. In the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, and as well as the women and children, and to everyone a cake of bread, and a good piece of meat, and a flagon of wine. And all the people departed, everyone to his house. And David returned to bless his own household. So he just got back home. Who is at home? Who did not go to church? Sister Micah. Amen. And Micah, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, she didn't even wait. It was burning. I've told people, I've said it before, everyone has passion. It's what you are passionate about. I'm not really like that. I'm not someone that really invests myself in things. It's a lie. You have done how many attachments in the last 3 weeks? You have plated people's hair. You have done 92 people. And you say you're not passionate. If you're not passionate, what will you do? You watch pre-analysis of the football game. You watch the football game. You watch the post-analysis. Then all the pundits that we talk. You know the one that we talk from BBC. You know the one that we talk from Sky Sports. You know the one that we talk from which one again? Sports, CNN. Bro. you know Fabrizio. You know everybody. And you say you're not passionate. You just don't find God valuable enough. You just don't find God valuable. So as soon as David came to the house, Micah had passion. Then she spoke with sarcasm. I rate her for that. You listen to the sarcasm. How glorious was the king today? Sarcasm. How glorious. I like the way the writer of 2 Samuel keeps writing it. The daughter of Saul. May you not bring disgrace to your family. Every time, Micah, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, verse 20, that's where we are. How glorious was the king of Israel today? Why? Her father was a king who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servant as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. What is she saying? God is not worth that dance you gave him. That's what she said. Don't blame me. I'm just the messenger. She says, God is not worth it for you to actually dance like that. So how glorious was the king? Well, like David. He has some response, some cool response. He says, God chose me instead of your daddy. Amen? Very nice response.
God chose me, said, well, daddy, to appoint me a ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord. I will not get familiar. That's when I will just get familiar to the name of Jesus. And that's why a lot of people don't even see the impact of the authority in the name of Jesus in their lives. Because it actually means nothing to them. You sing the songs, it means nothing. You pray the prayer, it means nothing. But God is telling you today, the next time you come around, take off your shoes. You've got to put some honor. And David said, verse 22, if you think that's all, say, I'll play before the Lord, and yet I will be more vile. I'll be more vile than this. That, if you think this is what you have seen, you not see what I'm planning tomorrow. That's what David is saying. He said, he just brought the ark. I said, I should come and just shower and rest. Tomorrow, the full party starts. The ark is here. Amen. I will be more vile than this. You've not seen anything. And I will be base in my own sight. And in the sight of the maidservant, which I have spoken of, and of them shall I add in honor. See what he's saying? He says, I will be base in my sight. That is, I won't see myself as anything. Don't forget, you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he will lift you up. But he will resist the proud. And don't be like the Levites. They'll say, when were we proud? When you brought the lame offering. When you brought the sick animal's offering. I'm not talking about the offering time now. You give God a chunk of your time. The sick time. The time you don't give your fiancé. When your fiancé demands time, you say, I'm free for the day. But God, I can spare 30 minutes. I've just been service 30 minutes. After 30 minutes, I'm gone. I'm busy. You will not end up like Micah. Verse 23, therefore Micah, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. Not because of anything. God did that. The good God. We go back again. If you honor me, I'll honor you. For Samuel 2:30. Know it. It's one of the scriptures in my head. God said, if you honor me, I'll honor you. Those who despise me shall be likely extinct. Sounds like a curse. I think it is. You will not get to a place where you despise the Lord. The whole city was celebrating. She was looking through the window. Watch when you're not with the church. Watch it. Just watch it. Because what is making me not do what everybody's doing? No, there are people in their lives who pride on being different. Okay? That one's not in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, we do it together. I've told you before. If I attend a Christian meeting, and I see one person standing here, and another person standing there, the pastor doesn't need us to stand. Once I see three people standing, I stand. Amen. The Holy Ghost is making people stand. What am I waiting for? Amen. You don't need the minister of transportation to tell you the green light says go. When you see the green light, you go. You don't need a call for minister of transportation. Say, have you not seen the green light? The green light. The Holy Ghost is asking this person. The Holy Ghost is making this person kneel down during the service and he's praying. And the person there is praying. Warren Roger. Because you are so special. You're looking from the window. You've gotten so familiar. You will not be likely esteemed. She didn't realize that it was not about David. She was disrespecting the ark, the presence of God itself. Lord, help me. Never to dishonor you. Help me with my mouth. Help me with my mouth. To always see you as king. To always see you as valuable. She felt David was dancing too much. Is that not the ark? So why can't you just dance like a king? How does a king dance? Matthew 7. What's that again? Take off your shoes. All right, good. Matthew 7. Jesus is talking here. In verse 6. He says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. If I use this one, even in my natural life. There are some people that don't demand, they don't deserve attention. I don't cast my pearls before swine. You know, there are some kind of people I don't chat with. I don't talk to. Why? You don't deserve it. Because I know eventually you're going to abuse it. It's like, you're not giving people a chance. No, I'm giving them a chance. You give your iPhone to a pig, and you're coming to cry to me that the pig went into the mud and into the swamp, and you can't find your iPhone. And you expect me to cry with you? I'm going to be laughing.
So I gave her for, you gave iPhone 16 to a pig. What are you expecting? What are you expecting? An update on the OS? No. It's going to get lost. It's going to get broken. Selah. Jesus says, don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they will trample upon them under their feet and turn again and they will tear you apart too. Jesus is teaching principles. And if you think he's just teaching you, he's telling you what he does. Those who despise me cannot get honor. I won't cast pearls before swine. See, Jesus is literally telling you what he does. Again, that's exactly what God told Eli. If you think you're going to be a pig and get honored, you're in for the long game. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. That might not go with your grace message. You know, there's a grace message, where God is just going. Eh? But that means you have not read your Bible very well. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed, says the Lord. You've got to be honorable. Sometimes I found Muslims who are more honorable than even the folks in the fold, than believers. I was on campus. There was a day like that. I was praying. The room. And I knew someone came in first. Who it was, I don't know. The person just left. Immediately the person opened the door, left. And another person came in, sat down, put on the TV, and was shouting. Was making call. I was praying. The one who came in, we are all roommates. The one who came in saw me praying. I said, sorry. He said, sorry, and left. I was a Muslim. The one the other day that entered, saw me praying, put on the TV, started making a call, was a worker in the church. He has gotten familiar with prayer times. So much that, what are you doing? In his defense, I would normally not do it there. I thought he was not around. Because he's not more people badu. Amen. Gbadu is not Greek word. For those who are listening to us, I know. Gbadu means, I know that he's a nice guy. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 139. Just quickly go there. I'll show you something. We still come back to Matthew. David says something that struck me here. Verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. How precious are your thoughts unto me. That is, when God gives me his thoughts, they are precious. I don't see them as casual. I don't see them as common. I don't see them as, and so. No, he says, your thoughts for me are precious. Are you listening to me? Are they precious to you? It's a question. How do you now treat God's word? How do you treat Jesus? Let's bring it home. Maybe we are too formal with this Christianity thing. How do you treat your fellowship with God as a Christian? When people tell me, I find it hard to do devotion, it's a function. Listen very well to me. It's a function of value. You don't value him. There is nothing stressful. Let's forget all these things. This is value we are talking about. I'm getting there. Go to Matthew 10. Show you something. Now I've got to rush now. The teaching is actually a long, long one. So it's not going into where I want today. Matthew 10. Maybe one of these days we'll try to be teaching single series. We don't have much of that. Just single teachings. But not this one. Matthew 10, verse 12. So Jesus sent his disciples to preach. Two sent them. Verse 12. And I said, and when you come into a house, salute it. Can we verse 13 together? If the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it's not worthy, meaning, how did he explain if being worthy? He said, you will not take anything when you're going. Right? He says, but for your journey, everywhere you enter, they will feed you. Right? They'll take care of you. He says, if the house be worthy, your peace will come upon it. If it's not worthy, and he just said, get out. He said, let your peace return to you. That is the God you serve. Maybe someone has done kidding for you. Every day is a Friday. Every day is a good day for you. And you think God, whether you honor him or you despise him, he will just keep blessing you with grace. No. No. It's all about the scriptures. He honors those who honor him. He says, if he has his body, your peace will come upon you. If it's not, your peace will go with you. It will return to you. There are many Christians today, if you tell them, God bless you, they just laugh and they go, I've taught you before. Don't take that casually.
Every time someone tells me God bless you, even if it's a babalawo, even if it's Guru Maharaj, and say God bless you, you say amen. Do you know who God is? I think that's why a lot of believers don't walk in the heights where they ought to. And the same person who does not know how to say a simple amen to God bless you will go to the mountain and start praying. Because you have put God in a box. You have put a formula on him. I know if I can fast and pray for 5 days, I'll see a blue angel. And I will see Lucifer. You know if Lucifer say, Nuwakuwa. I'll just see vision. And it will show me my wife. The simple things you're meant to do. The simple act of devotion. You don't. Someone tells you God bless you. You have got a familiar with the God that can bless. If Esau had a chance for Isaac to just say God bless you, he sought it with tears. God bless you. It also applies in healing. Someone asked me, so why are people not healed? I'm not saying every time, but there are people who are not healed because they just have this, they've despised the power of God. You have mocked miracles so much that your body, even when you say amen, your body actually is not accepting that you want it. God told a lie. I have before said, your family will serve me forever. But I've changed my mind. Strong words. God said, I have changed my mind. Because those who honor me will receive honor. And those who despise me, they can never be esteemed highly. Don't give your pearls before swine. God sees those who treasure his name. And he calls them out. Look at how Jesus described the kingdom of God in Matthew 13. Verse 44. When you come to the church, you expect to open the Bible, right? Yeah. So, Matthew 13, 44. Again, the kingdom of God, heaven, is as unto a treasure hidden in the fields. The which, when a man has found, he hides it. See how he describes the kingdom of God? Like a treasure. He hides it. And for joy, he goes forth and sells all that he has so that he can buy that field. Oh my God. That is the kingdom of God. The man saw it. He said, it's a treasure. And he went to sell all that he had so that he can buy that field. And I said, there is no price too high to pay when you see value. In verse 45, he said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. He tells you, this is your response. This is Jesus talking. Read letters. This is how you respond to the kingdom of God. He says, the man went and sold all that he has. Of course, this is figuratively. He's not saying you go and sell all that you have now. So this figuratively. The man went, he took a great price on himself just to get it. These days you find people complaining. Church. The issue is prayer. Every time prayer. You know, I'm a career. I'm not saying you should not be a career person. I've told you before. If you're not ambitious in this church, personally, I'll come upon you. So, I don't like lazy people. You should not be lazy. Okay, when you're young. Amen. You want to become a lowly. You want to be giving prophecy. For where? Everybody can give prophecy. So go and sit down. That one. Amen. Well, you can't use career to be giving an excuse. Are there no career people here too? You can't use age. The other day, I was telling my wife about Pastor Deboye went to 4 redeemed churches. They were not the big churches. In fact, one of them was this man, and then you use stick in Ogun State there. He went there, parked in the long stand, walked on foot, an 84-year-old man there about, and he sat at the back. When the pastor saw him, he said, Jesus! You can imagine. An 84-year-old man is not missing service. And you are saying, I had a bit of back pain. Might sound like a legit excuse. But if you were asked to come collect 100 million naira, I'm very sure you'll not be saying you have back pain. So the issue is not back pain. The issue is that God is just not valuable enough. You've not found the treasure in the field. You listening to me? Because it's not mouth. It's not just by mouth. We sing the song every time. You me, more than this world. To me, we sang it earlier today. Have we? No. There's one you sang today. It's not that one. Is that the one you sang today? You mean more? I won't trade you. Your my desire. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters until something else show up.
Nothing else matters. And you're my delight in you. Hallelujah. You mean more than this war to me. Until someone just say, can you follow me to that cinema? And the person that you claim means more than the world actually does not mean more than the world. And we break the jugular. Break the jugular, our prayer meeting. Do they break it? Jesus, jugular, jugular. Or they? To pray. You cannot pray. Mouth. You just said, these people, they've loved me with their mouth. Their heart is far. And I see the heart. Those who honor me will get honored. As simple as that, he doesn't break his word. Those who honor me will get honored. I have seen it in the body of Christ. I've been around for a few days. Amen? Not a few days of pastoring. And I can tell you, those who honor God, they eventually get honored. He doesn't miss his word. Don't think you know anybody. There's one woman I know that used to honor God. Okay. Honor is in the heart. It's not because I come early to sweep. Of course, that's a show of honor too. But it's more about the heart. God sees the heart. Eliab was tall. Eliab was strong. And God said, nah, he's not the one. Saul was killing stuff and he said it's for God. And it was actually for God. And God said, no, you are a proud guy. Get out. Your family will no longer reign. A man would have said, if he was democracy, I said, what? God is wicked. Saul went to bring the fasting, so sacrifice. And you see how God is treating him. Sorry, it's not democracy. God sees the heart. Those who honor me will get honored. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Says the kingdom of God is like treasure. Do you see it as treasure? Big, big question. When last did you take off your shoes? At the presence of God. At the sight of the burning bush. When last did you put off your shoes? Because this is holy ground. You must respond to the presence of God with something. There is something that must cost you. Your shoes must be out of your leg. It's not costly. It's not, the issue is it's not valuable. Have you ever, my wife, I want to mention some things. If you live with a pastor, you are going to get featured in a lot of sermons. Amen. We discussed this at home. And you featured me. It's fine. I remember there was a time we were watching a real estate stuff. The house was about 2 billion. Was it 2 billion or 1 billion? And they were showing the house. And saying, it's not, what's this? How many houses we are going to buy from this 1 billion? By the way, I don't have 1 billion here. So, I said, Pastor, you used to watch 1 billion. He said, can you woman phone? So, watch and say, I said it to her, so it doesn't look like only her. I said, you know how many houses is Kingdom? I will just go to Maryland. I'll go to Baghdad. I'll buy plenty instead of buying just one for 1 billion. And as I was saying that day, something struck my heart. Said, but someone bought it. It's not costly. You just don't see it as worth 1 billion. The person who bought it sees it as worthy of that money. I remember there was a time when I was in secondary school. And I took all my money to buy a game. All my money that I'd been saving. And I bought a game. To someone else, you look at that game and say, to a family man who had children, he's not buying the game. Omawanle, Omajakara. Game care. If you take game to the children that have not eaten since morning, they will curse you. They will likely esteem you. Amen. That's when you know real likely esteem. You wake up tomorrow morning, no daddy. But to me, it was worth it. To me, paying that money was valuable. Let's bring it home. The next time it feels you have an excuse not to pray, not to seek the face of God for something, and you feel it's costly, maybe it's not valuable to you. Price and values. Price and values. Price and values. It's not the price that is too high. It is the person that does not value it enough. Oh, church, pastor, this church, this Christianity thing, I think it's a bit stressful. It's not that the price is too high. Maybe you should look at how you value. Look at the value. Maybe you don't place enough value on Jesus himself. Maybe. Just maybe. At some point, Judas saw Jesus as everything in the world. He preached him. You know what it means to preach your fellow man? When we go on outreaches, we preach Jesus. You don't preach me. Amen? But imagine you are preaching me. And 1 hour, you are talking to someone else about following me. Which is going to be weird. Please don't. Jesus is our message. Amen? What is deeper life? Jesus alone is our message. Judas preached Jesus. He was everything. When the storm came, Judas said, Master, we are.
When it was time to feed 5,000, 7,000, time to pay tax, Jesus was everything. And it came to a point, Jesus was worth 30 silver coins. Something changed. Something changed. He looked at him and said, 30 to fine. 30 wapa. They even priced him. Maybe they said 50, said, but I can collect 30. I can't go below 30. Pray for yourself a bit. I'm not done. Just pray for yourself a bit. Brother, pray for me, please. Help me, Lord, to take off my shoes. Amen. When it's valuable enough, the price is never too high. No price is too high. It says, the man saw the treasure in the field and he hid it and he went away. Lord Jesus, he went away and he sold all that he had so that he can purchase the field. Treasures, values. He sold all that he had. Observe how he put it. Let me show you. Verse 44. Matthew 13:44. That's where we are, right? He said, when the man has found, he hides. And for joy. That means he didn't just sell, he didn't just go and sell everything he had. He sold it gladly. He was glad to sell it off. For joy. He didn't just pay the price. He paid it gladly. What a joy to serve the Lord. What a joy. What an honor. What an honor to be anointed. What an honor to stand in his name. What an honor to mention, to be able to say the name of Jesus. What an honor. What an honor to carry his spirit everywhere I go. What an honor. What a privilege. What a privilege. It's a privilege. And we must start seeing as such. That value must not diminish. Jesus must not become 30 silver coins. Must not get to that point. Where the Lord of the universe becomes 30 silver coins. May we not end up like Judas. May our lives not be insignificant in God's view. God told Moses, the next time you approach me, you take off your shoes. Something must leave. A price must be paid. There must be a demonstration of honor. There must be a reverence. You must place some value on it. The next time you see me talk to you, you must take off your shoes. For the place where you stand is holy ground. Help me, Lord Jesus. Teach me so that your priorities become my priorities. Help me to see the value that is in you, in knowing and in serving you. Help me to see what's precious to you and to see you as precious. Oh, Lord God. Help me. Help me to see you as special, to see you as precious, to see you as valuable, such that no price is high enough. No price is high enough. Open my eyes. Open the eyes of my heart. So I don't get familiar. Every day. Renew my sight. Renew my vision of you. Help me to see you clearly. As you see me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me not to be high in my own heights. But to be base, to maintain a sane estimate of myself, and to see you as who you truly are. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord Jesus. Not to end like Eli, or Michal, or Judas. Ah, Jesus Christ. Help me in my honor for you, for your things. Pray for yourself tonight, just pray. Pray for yourself. You don't have to stand up. If you want to sit down, you can sit down. Just pray for yourself. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord Jesus. I might have been distracted all this while.
and I've gotten familiar all these years. Help me, Lord. To see you on the throne. To see you as king. Not to look from the window when others are seeing you as special. Help me to take off my shoes and listen to you once again. Help me to see your holy ground. May I not be lightly esteemed. May I not be base in the sight of all men. Ah. Karu de hike di palisto behind the leketos. Ba uke ida mari ka. Kote eke di gede kutusha. Ha ikute embreka tu valafa ida. Kuzupri di ene kuka ida baka ida. Shonde leke di akas. Help me, Lord Jesus. From me, Lord. To see the value in you. The eternal value that you are. To be overwhelmed by your presence. And all that you are. To take off my shoes. And listen to you again. Not to lightly esteem you, Lord. That I don't bring polluted bread. And sick animals. And lame animals. And blind animals. Lord, help me. One minute more.